You believe everything. You want to go to heaven, but you have not been internally changed. And it's an evidence by your desires. You're not prepared to meet Christ because you're still in your sins. God is a gracious God to exhort you so that you won't hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you."
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, I think just about everyone who claims to be a follower of Jesus at some point has questioned whether or not they're truly saved.
You know, Dave, that's probably true. And yet the sad fact is there are many people who live in perpetual fear, never really having the peace knowing that they're truly saved and on their way to heaven. Now, for some, that fear is actually justified. They're not saved, and the Lord is continuing to convict them and prod them. But yet for others who have trusted in Jesus Christ, truly, it's a matter of faith and then obedience. Now, today we're going to look at both groups, and we're going to see what the Lord has to say about how to know if you are truly saved. Our text is Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
He says, "I don't know you. I don't have a relationship with you." We've seen that in Matthew chapter 7. They are still in their sins. You can think you know Jesus all you want, but if you were in your sins, you are separated from a holy God. He is a holy God. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 is addressing how we can know who are false teachers. Matthew 7, verse 20. "So you will know them by their fruits." That's false teachers, okay? And here's the fruit of false teachers. If you want to know if a church has false teaching, the converts are the fruit. If they're false converts, you got false teachers. If you got people that aren't saved, thinking they're saved, you got a false church. He says, "Not everyone," verse 21, "who says to me," notice it, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's synonymous with salvation. "But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven," or Luke says, "he who obeys my word." And to obey God's word, you have to have a changed heart through faith in Christ. He says, "Many will say to me on that day." These are people who are the fruit of false teachers. "Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" In Christ's name they did it. "And then I will declare to them," notice the similarity, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice or continually do lawlessness." John says lawlessness is sin. If you're still in your sins, Jesus doesn't know you because you are separated from him. And that's the point of this parable. Those who were not ready, those who were not prepared, those who did not heed his warnings because they were not truly changed inside, were not prepared, although they were invited and they wanted to be there. And they would identify with the wedding. So in context, Jesus is coming immediately at the end of the tribulation. These Jews do not know the exact time or hour. Their actions prepared us are an evidence of where their heart is before the Lord. If you are not spiritually prepared to meet Christ because you are still in your sin, you will be barred from entering the kingdom, and you will go into a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, because God takes sin very seriously. So seriously, he sent his own son to pay the penalty for our sins. It's absolutely clear this parable has to do with the return of Christ for the Jews. Now for us, we're not in the tribulation. We're in the church, but we are expecting Christ's imminent return. And we know that any one of us could pass away today. This may be your last day on earth, and you will stand before the living God and give an account for yourself. And nothing other than the blood of Christ covering your sins will God accept. And this is the Jews here in the tribulation. And notice, again, let's read the parable. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent." The real point is they all seem to be those who were involved with the groom. but five really were not. You see? And five of them are foolish and five are prudent. And we see that they talked about there would not be enough, so they were to go buy some. And if you go down to verse 10, and while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins came saying, Lord, Lord. They think they know him. Open up for us. But he answered and said, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert, for you do not know the day or the hour. And for us, you don't know the day or the hour. You will stand before the living God. You have no idea if this is your last day on the earth, and you will stand before him. And he is a gracious God to warn you in advance. So as we look at this parable, we need to understand who the different people represent. Obviously, the groom in the parable represents Christ. That is obvious. The context of Matthew 24 is Christ coming and the kingdom. It represents Christ. But again, who do the virgins represent? Again, they were those who were invited. Certainly in this context, Jews were invited very specially to a relationship with the living God. They were to be a kingdom of priests to the world. They had a special privilege. They had the very oracles of God. And for us, we're not Jews. Well, maybe not all of us are Jews. We're not in the tribulation, but each and every one of you have heard the invitation, probably multiple times, by the living God to repent of your sins, to be saved, and to enter into his kingdom. You've been invited many times. And there's a group of you that have been invited and have accepted that invitation, but yet are not prepared. You see, that's the difference in the parable. The prudent were prepared, awaiting the groom. They were about his business. They were focused on him. The foolish were not prepared. They were unwise. And I believe it represents two types of people who name the name of Christ during the tribulation, awaiting his return. Not away from it, but awaiting him. One group will evidence salvation because they waited for Christ. The other one evidences they don't, because they're not focused on him. They are evil and wicked slaves. Again, it's a continuation of Matthew 24. So the point we need to see that Jesus is making is two groups had so much in common. They were both invited. They both desired to take part. They did not want to take part. They wanted to take part. They both assumed they would participate in this parable, the kingdom. Yet as we see, five represent those who evidence they have a relationship, and five, the Lord does not know. If you were to pass away today, would the Lord say, depart from me into eternal punishment because I don't know you? What is it that separates us from the living God? What is it that keeps us from a relationship with the living God, keeps us from a real relationship? We know it's sin. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned his own way. The wages of sin is death. We have all sinned against the living God, and God is a righteous God, a righteous judge, and will hold us accountable for every word and every deed. All of us have gone astray, but God has poured out the sin of us all upon him. The main point of our parable, those who know Jesus are ready to meet him. Those who don't know him are not ready. I want to ask you, are you ready? Some of you maybe have prayed a prayer. Someone has told you, you prayed a prayer, so you're saved. You come to church, yet you have not been internally changed. You have not been humbled before the living God. You're not submissive to him. You don't hunger and thirst for righteousness. You hunger and thirst for your own will to be done. But yet you come and sing songs, and you name his name. But as Jesus would say, I do not know you. There's no relationship, you who practice lawlessness. We've had people in our body who have identified with Christ and come to find out they really weren't saved. And they've repented of their sins and become saved. And there may be some today. And there's a big warning here. Look at verse 13 back in our passage. Be on the alert then. The context is, if you are one of his, you're to be about his business. You're to be watching for him. It's all about him. It's not about you. For you do not know the day or the hour. The context again is Jewish tribulation saints being watchful and alert for him. He's going to come while they are still alive, unless they're martyred. He's going to come during their generation. They are to be about his business, not their own. And Jesus has given this warning four times. Back in 24 verse 42, therefore be on the alert. 24:42. For you do not know the day which your Lord is coming. Matthew 24:44. For this reason you to be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you will not think. And that's for these Jewish tribulation saints. But for us, you may go in His presence today. You're not going to be ready. You're not going to be thinking it's going to happen. But it will happen. You will meet Him at a time when you are not ready or expecting. Matthew 24:50. The master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him at an hour which he does not know, and shall cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. Hypocrite is someone who is one way on the outside and another way on the inside. Weeping shall be there and gnashing of teeth. And then our verse, be on the alert, for you do not know the day nor the hour. God is gracious to exhort those who are not truly saved. Often kids have the faith of their parents, but they don't truly have it themselves. You believe everything, you want to go to heaven, you accept everything, but yet you have not been internally changed yet. And it's an evidence by your desires. You're not prepared to meet Christ because you're still in your sins. God is a gracious God to exhort you so that you won't hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So we have a simple parable. It's a kingdom parable where Jesus revealed that those invited to his eternal kingdom, there will be many, obviously, and some will think they are entering, but they will evidence by their lack of preparedness that they are not in a relationship with him. And he will say, "Depart from me, I do not know you." Well, how does it apply to us? As we've seen, God is a gracious God. He is a good God. He is a merciful God. He is unveiling the hearts of those in the most horrible time would even name his name. That's pretty tough to do during the tribulation, but yet they didn't know him. But we're not truly saved, as evidenced by the lack of preparation. And God is gracious to you and to I. There may be some here today, and I think there probably are. I don't know the heart. God knows the heart. Who say, "Lord, Lord." And again, you've raised a hand. You've prayed a prayer. You're not antagonistic towards God. You want to go to heaven. You believe in Jesus. But yet you've never humbled yourself as a child before him and acknowledged your wickedness before him and submitted your life to the Lord. You've never received Jesus Christ as Lord. You are still Lord of your life, which means you're still in your sins. And God is gracious, because if you acknowledge your sin that you can't stop and you turn to him, he'll forgive you. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He paid the penalty for your wicked pride and my wicked pride. Some of you have never been truly redeemed, and those closest to you are probably wondering. And I'd encourage you, if you're wondering, if God is prompting your heart, ask your spouse, "Do you think I'm saved?" Let them tell you the truth from the outside. Does my life represent truly a life exhibited of one who knows Christ? Now, ultimately, you have to examine yourself. It's in the heart. We can't see from the outside, but there are evidences on the outside. Have you acknowledged your sin? Have you humbled yourself before the living God? I pray that you don't outwardly conform to the things of Christ and then hear those horrifying words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Man has a problem. It's sin. The wages of sin is death, God declares. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. It is appointed man wants to die, and then the judgment. God will judge. Turn with me to Isaiah 53, verse 4 for a moment. God writes through Isaiah, speaking of Jesus 700 years before he would go to the cross. "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves," that's speaking of Jews, "esteemed him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. But regardless of their perception as Jews when Christ came to them, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our shalom, or well-being, fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." We are all sinners. We were born into sin.
And God is gracious and he sent his son to pay for all of our sins. And God is calling upon all men everywhere to repent. Turn to Acts chapter 17. God is calling upon everyone here to repent if you have not repented. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. While you're turning there, Jesus said in Luke 24 that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed throughout the earth. Acts 17, verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere, what? Should repent. That's a change of mind. That's a turning with that change of mind to the living God. I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I am wicked. I realize I deserve his wrath. And I turn to the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. There's a judgment day. Today's the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't pretend to follow him if your life betrays such a profession. If you hear his voice, no matter if you prayed a prayer, whatever it might be, if you know in your heart of hearts you don't love the things of Christ, you haven't humbled yourself before him, you're not submissive to him, if you know that in your heart, Christ begs to you to come and have eternal life for free to trust in Christ. Are you ready to meet Christ? Paul would exhort a whole church in 2 Corinthians to examine themselves, and I exhort us. Does your life exhibit the fruit of a changed relationship where you hunger and thirst for righteousness, mourn over your sin, have a genuine desire to know Christ through his word? You're convicted and want to be changed rather than giving excuses for your sin. As we close, let me share a couple passages that might help you examine yourself that God has given us for that purpose. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. God declares through John here, and by this we know that we have come to know him. He knows us, we know him, right? It's a relationship. If we keep his commandments, that's not the Ten Commandments, it's not the same word, it means commands, if we keep his commands. In a minute, we'll see it's synonymous with his word. The one who says, I have come to know him, and yet does not keep or continually do his commands, it's not perfect, we sin. If we say we don't have sin, we're liars. That's the beginning of 1 John, right? But it's a desire to follow him, it's a life. He says, the one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his what? His word. In him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. You can know. It's a test. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Look up a little farther, verse 15, another test. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. The things of the world are me, myself, and I. The things of the world is my life, me. It's all about me. My desires, my will, what I like. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You may name the name of Christ, but if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, I did it my way. You see, if you attribute anything to yourself apart from Christ, that is boasting. And the world attributes everything apart from Christ in their hearts. Is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. That assumes the one who doesn't does not abide forever. Then lastly, turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. God, through his word in multiple places, is calling upon people who name his name to examine their lives. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices, or literally, continually, habitually does righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who continually, habitually practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin. If you have been redeemed, you don't continually, habitually sin. We fall and we make mistakes, but that's not our lifestyle. Because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Obvious. It's not even a mystery. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. And the last test, which comes from that, verse 14, chapter 3. We know that we have passed out of death. Wages of sin is death. Death right now, relationship with God, eternal death, being separated in punishment. We know we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. If you don't have a deep desire to be around the body of Christ, to serve them, I question whether you are saved. You may be one of those who is going to say, Lord, Lord. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Hopefully God's word has convicted you. And if you are one of those who is not his, but names his name, that you've been convicted, the solution is not to get upset or angry. The solution is to turn to Jesus Christ. He will forgive you. He will save you. Well, what about us believers? How does this apply to us? Obviously, it's a warning over and over again to those who identify with him who are not saved. Folks, we should be like Christ. We should be concerned for those around us who are not saved but name his name. Each and every one of us has people in our lives that say they're Christians, and you look at their lives based on the word of God and you go, I don't know if that's really true. I can't see their hearts, but it sure does not seem like it. I don't see a humility, a submission to Christ, a love for his word, a love for his people. I don't see those things. I see this person living their life their way apart from the time they come together. We should have the heart of Christ to graciously come alongside as he leads and warn them of what we see from the outside. We can't see the inside, but what we see from the outside, that it doesn't line up with the word of God. And maybe you don't know the Lord God. And maybe someday you'll say, Lord, Lord, and he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. We need to have the heart of Christ. You need to pray about it. Are there those around you, family members? Don't be afraid to offend them. You want them saved so they don't go to hell. I'm not saying offend them. I'm saying don't be afraid if they're offended. If you're gracious and you're wise and you're spirit-led, sharing the truth to those around you, name his name, but don't seem to know him. I pray that we step forward and pray about those situations of those before it's too late, that we are like Christ.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins. that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.